Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We have a legendary Dallas musician in studio with us, but before we get to him, KT, what is the latest on the British Open?
Well, they're done playing for the day. They began at 1:30 a.m., and I was up around then to watch all the golf happening.
What a sports fiend.
Rory, he's kind of the hometown guy there. He had an 8 on the first hole. Didn't end up well for Rory. He's 8 over. He's like in 150th place.
Wow.
Tiger's 7 over. He had a bad day. He looked really old today. He looked like his back was hurting. I felt bad for him. Your leaders, J.B. Holmes, Shane Lowry at 4 under, Brooks Koepka at 3 under, back. He's going to win probably. And Jordan Spieth at 1 under. So yeah, here's your British Open update right there. And now, joining us in studio,
Hello. The
front man of the Polyphonic Spree and Tripping Daisy and Preteen Zenith.
Wow.
Tim DeLauder.
What an introduction. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me here.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you're wearing a Tripping Daisy shirt, and actually KT, yeah, I think, has taken vacation days to go see Polyphonic Spree.
He's likely.
See him out there. Every time he's there, I see him out there, and I give him a shout out from stage.
Does he wear a robe when he shows up?
No, I don't think I've ever seen him in a robe. I can definitely take care of that.
I would like to. I would like to wear a robe. It's fun when I take someone who's never been before,
right,
and you go, hey, KT, what's up, in a song, right, or something, and they like, did that really just happen?
Right.
I was like, hey,
yeah,
I know Tim, kind of.
I love to do that. I'll hook you up with a robe. If anybody deserves one, it's you. And I do, and I was telling KT on the way up here how much I enjoy his play-by-play, by the way, of the of golf. It keeps me in the know with what's going on.
He's like a comedian Norm MacDonald in that way. He's all about the golf tweets.
Yeah, he's multifaceted, multi-talented multitasker.
Yeah. For people who don't know about the robes, how would you reset that? How do you explain that?
Okay, so I knew there was going to be a lot of people in the Polyphonic Spree.
How many people are there?
Well, at that time there were 28 people in the band.
God.
And I thought it would be enormously distracting to have that many people wearing street clothes. You know, people just like, well, this person's kind of like this person by the way that they're dressing. And I just thought, I don't want to deal with that. I want it to be all about the music. So I thought, how can I like unify, clothe this band really, really cheap? And I was talking to my mother-in-law and I saw this like robe caftan kind of idea. And we went up to Joann's and picked out an old pattern. And she actually made all the robes for everybody. And we put them on, and it was like an aha moment. It's like, this is it, man. It wasn't very expensive. We clothed the band, and I just thought it would, you know, it would be, it dispel all the distractions. But what ended up happening when the band first came out, especially when we were abroad, is that it was just this cult. What's up with these dudes in these robes and, you know, jumping up and down and smiling and singing these songs. It just totally like did the flip. So now I was just dealing with press with all these sensational questions about the robes and stuff. So
it's interesting that's the way you arrived at it, because it did totally sort of fit with the aesthetic of whatever this thing is, where there's allusions to 60s and Age of Aquarius and some of that kind of stuff. That the robes thing sort of tie in to the music in a lot of ways.
It did, and it happened by simply simple economics and the fact that it clothed this from top to bottom. It was really inexpensive to do it, and it just so happens it worked out.
Is that the hardest part of the band, the economics? I can't imagine having to take care of 20 people.
That's hard.
And we talk about a piece of the pie up here, right?
It's like, yeah. It's rough. You know, the Spree has been on 8 different major labels in almost 20 years. And we finally, I guess the last 6 years, we're on our own and funding our records on our own, which is, you know, we're doing this big Polyphonic Spree campaign right now where you can donate and actually get these really interesting gifts. Like you can go fishing with me, bass fishing with me. I'm a I love bass fishing. I've got a big pond that is just stocked with some killer bass. And so one of the prizes, you can come out and fish with Tim and get some lunch, and which is a good thing.
And I think the Ben and Skin Show might bid on that.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. And it's a great, it's only about an hour from here. And it's awesome. Be in a little John boat and just kind of hit wherever we want to go. It's pretty great.
That's great. Okay, so, and are you a master fisherman? Like, do you have skills?
I've got skills. I've been fishing since I was a little kid. My dad was a pro bass fisherman. And then I started growing up fishing tournaments when I was at a young age. I'd fish with him. And then I got the bug, man. And I've been fishing ever since. And it's a huge part. I think Tripping Daisy back in the day, I did a tour called the Lure Tour, where we had a different name of our shows or that night after a particular lure, like the Hula Popper or the Rattle Traps or whatever, you know, J&J Spoon.
That's just great. Whatever. I did not know that.
This is Tim DeLauder joining us in studio of Tripping Daisy and the Polyphonic Spree. And we should give more details about the fundraiser that you are doing. This is an interesting concept. I'm an old De La Soul fan, and they funded their last record this way.
3 feet rising.
Well, that's one of the greatest records ever, man. Yeah. And so the idea is that you guys have a loyal fan base that's been with you for a couple decades now. And so as you guys, you know, the record business has changed so much. And so this is really a way for, I guess, fans to take ownership in what you're doing.
This is the second time we've done it. And it was such a great success the first time we did it that it's like, wow, we can actually be in control of our record, in control of how we're able to get navigate from A to B without having the pressure of a label and having them, you know, scrutinize our material that we'd put out. And not that they would do that, but sometimes it does happen. But it just gives the band the freedom, and it also gives the fans, like you said, that have been with us from the get-go, a stock in what we're doing, and gives them like, hey man, I'm invested in this. And we just found it's like, it's incredible for us to witness that we've got that kind of support. And I think the fans out there enjoy it too, because like I said, it makes them feel a part of it.
And it's 51% of it's already funded. So we got a little ways to go. If you go to the polyphonicspree.com, there's a lot of cool stuff on there. Like go to a Cowboys game with Tim.
Yeah.
For a little bit of a donation. And also, the one that I am interested in is just an all-day barbecue happening.
Yeah.
Possibly happening if it gets funded.
Yeah, if it gets funded, we're doing Sons of Herman Hall, where we barbecue and cook for everybody. It's a private show for just the people that come that bid on that particular prize. And we hang out, eat barbecue, and drink beer, and hang out with the Spree and play music and watch the Spree. Yeah, I think it'd be pretty fun.
That's almost like y'all's version of the old Luckenbach deal, man.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a really cool thing. Where did you grow up, Tim?
Well, I went elementary school. I grew up in Lakewood Elementary is where I went to elementary, went to J.L. Long Junior High. And then
East Dallas guy.
But then we moved to Duncanville. And I went to Duncanville High School.
So you've been in this area for a long time. And then did
my whole life.
I always think of you, or I think of Tripping Daisy as being initially a Denton thing. Did you go to North Texas?
I didn't. I lived there. My wife, Julie, went to school there. And of course, Wes and Mark went to school there. But I didn't go, but we were living out there. Yeah.
That's a good place to live.
Yeah, right? It was awesome at that time. I mean, this was 89, 90, early 90s. And it was pretty fun.
So you've got something else coming up on the 27th at Good Records. This is a grand opening of the new Good Records location.
Yeah, it is.
Jason Lytle. Yeah. How are you remembering all these songs? Because you have three bands, really, sort of.
Well, it's not that, you know, I don't, I'm doing a solo show, and people that have seen this before, it's kind of it can be a train wreck or it can come off kind of cool. But either way, I'm not really known for my solo stuff. I'm not that good at it. So I'm trying to, you'll see that I'm playing a lot more often solo because I'm kind of working on this for myself. But I get really, really freaked out, nervous, and I tend to forget things and stuff like that. But those songs, I just pick songs that I like that I play on acoustic, and I've worked up this little set and I do it. But so it's a little bit from Tripping Daisy, a little bit from Preteen Zenith, and then a couple of covers.
And so what are the primary, you know, sonic differences between the bands? Like, how are they different?
Wow. Well, Tripping Daisy, if you guys remember that, it was like power pop, psychedelic pop, rock, you know.
And right at the really advent of alt rock taking off. Yeah. Like it was happening late 80s, but really took off in those early 90s, and y'all were kind of a part of all that.
Yeah, it was such a great scene back then, the 90s and Deep Elm, and all the bands just, I was talking about this with the guy I picked my guitar up today that was Jimmy, who was working on it, and we were talking about the scenes back then, and it was just like all the bands jammed together. We'd all get together like in be house parties, but it'd be like different band members just jamming together, so you could be with anybody, and it was a really healthy music scene. But yeah, it was a vivacious time for Tripping Daisy. Just kind of took off.
I'm so interested in the developments of Deep Elm. We on the show recently talked about what's going on there now, and it's had its, you know, ups and downs. I mean, hell, even going back to Robert Johnson recorded there in the 30s, right? So yeah, it's a legendary place. But what's happening there now is something that's never happened there in terms of, you know, if you want to call it gentrification or whatever you want to call it. It's becoming a place of commerce and growth, yeah, and all those things.
Yeah, it's happening right in front of us. And I'm not, well, yeah.
How do you feel about it? Just be honest.
Well, you know, of course I don't like it. I mean, of course I'm nostalgic about the way it was back when I used to do it, you know, but it was a really cool place, and it was all about the music. It was a community, a collective of all musicians. It was the crowds were kind of part of it. They were so invested in the live music, and today the live music scene in this town, I'm sorry, is just not happening. It's not, I'm not talking about the bands. I'm talking about people embracing it and being out there. I go and see shows and I'm like, why isn't this place packed out? You
right.
know, and it's like, and these are good local bands, and it's hard to get people out, and I really miss that aspect of it.
Have you thought about why that might be?
You know, I don't know if it's, you know, the internet, the day that, I mean, people have so much access to music and have so much access to content. I don't know. I don't know if they're just waiting for that one big show, because, you know, we have festivals around here. Jambalaya does incredibly well. We have shows out here that do really, really well, but local shows are just not hitting it. And I don't know if it's a cross between that, cross between what's happening in Deep Elm. I don't know, but it's definitely something that I recognize, and it's kind of sad because there's some real talented groups happening right now out here.
So tomorrow night at the Nasher, your son's got a show.
Yes.
Oscar DeLotter.
He's at the Nasher tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Wow. Is it like the outdoor gig?
Yeah. It's a free show. And
that's a lot of fun. It's a beautiful place to see a show.
It's awesome. It's really cool. But yeah, Big O's kicking right along.
He had a show at the Kessler not too long ago, or that's coming up maybe.
No. He had it. He opened for Tin Hands.
Yes.
That was another blast from the past. I mean, Julie and I were like, we would see them when we lived in Denton and at the library. We'd see those guys, and it's like if we'd have known back then that our son would be opening for them. You know, my God, 30 years later, it was, God, it's incredible.
So what is his music like?
It's pop. Oscar is a really good songwriter. It's
I heard a tune that was dancey.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of everything. Oscar's an incredible dancer, by the way. But he can kind of do anything. His record, he's got a little EP out on iTunes that you can get, Oscar DeLotter. But it's got a little bit of, he's got rock, he's got a little bit of soul, he's got some dance. But it's pop, you know, and he'll tell you it's pop. And but he's always working on more. He's got a couple of new songs he's going to debut tomorrow night. So
I got a Timberlake vibe out of it.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
But it was really cool. So I remember at a Christmas show probably 10 years ago, back when it was at the Lakewood Theater. And yeah, by the way, Christmas show this year is on again.
You're right.
And you can go to the polyphonicspree.com for tickets to that. I've already got mine.
Good.
But I remember like 10 years ago, and there's confetti and fake snow or whatever, and you're kicking it around, and this is one of Tim's kids. And I didn't know who they were. Now I see Oscar hopped on stage with you guys at the Tripping Daisy show at Homegrown Fest.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's one of those moments where you go, my God, I've gotten old. But
I know.
From a weird way, I felt like I've grown up with you guys in that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that have been watching us and been with us for a whole time. Because like I said earlier, my kids have been part of it. They would fall asleep on the stage in front of a big show. Oscar would come out there and hop on the drum throne. We were in Shepherd's Bush in London, and Oscar gets on the drum set and starts playing. His feet weren't touching the floor, And nobody knew what he was going to do, and no one knew it was going to happen. And we just heard drums playing, and all of a sudden, this little kid's up there just playing playing a beat, and the whole place went crazy. So they've kind of always been around, and the fans have watched my kids kind of grow up. So it's kind of cool.
I'm so interested in all that. I see it a lot with NBA stuff. I mean, I think about, you know, the Mavericks just signed Seth Curry, but Steph and Seth grew up in NBA arenas with their daddy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, your kids grew up on stages traveling the world with their daddy.
Yeah. It's just how it was, because Julie was in the choir singing. It was like we were a family. It was kind of like the Partridge Family. All the kids were in it, and it was crazy.
All right, Tim, before we let you go, let's get the word out there. How can people go in, bid on some of these items, and be a part of the new Polyphonic Spree record?
Go to the polyphonicspree.com, and then it'll show you. We're kind of doing this ourselves, so we're cutting out GoFundMe, Kickstarter, and doing it straight to the band, and so we kind of lose those fees. Mm-hmm. But go to polyphonicspree.com. Also, I want to give a shout-out to Jacob Douglas, who is... If you've ever shopped at Good Records, he's mm-hmm. the guy that probably checked you out and showed you all what you could buy. He's going through a rough time right now. He's got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and we're doing a GoFundMe for him, and you can just go to GoFundMe and look up Jacob Douglas, and you'll see a dude holding a guitar, okay. And that's him.
Is it J-O-C-O-B?
J-A-C-O-B.
J-A-C-O-B.
Douglas.
Okay.
And then you have acoustic shows on the 26th at Lee Harvey's. And the 27th at Good Records.
I do. And the 21st, if you like Built to Spill, Doug Marsh is going to be at Good Records for
in-store.
Oh, nice. So if you want to do
that. They're doing the 20th anniversary of their big record.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he'll be there 21st to play a few songs, and it's going to be fun.
Tim, thank you so much for coming in person, man.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys, for having me. Let's do this again.
Let's go.
Yeah, because we'll talk about some old stuff.
Yeah, rock and roll. There he goes, Tim DeLauder. Go be involved in funding the next Polyphonic record. Some really cool things as well. All right, Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.